This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
4 o'clock hour here, RCST on the new FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. The Royals fall once again last night, 12-1 to the White Sox. It's five losses in a row. That makes it, what, six runs over their last five games? They haven't scored more than two runs in eight. So it's safe to say that the offensive woes that we saw at the beginning of the year haven't quite subsided quite yet, as we welcome on David Leske of Baseball Prospectus Kansas City. Joining us on a special Tuesday edition of RCST because of the day game tomorrow. I didn't want to crunch you on time, my man, so thank you for joining me on a Tuesday.
Yeah, of course. I want to spend as much time with you as I possibly can.
Well, thank you. We're going to make the most of it today. It obviously was about as bad as it could have gotten for the Royals this past weekend. And you keep hearing the stuff that we've heard from them year after year after year, which is, you know, we go through these things. We just got to stick with it, hoping that it's going to get better. When you hear it from Ned Yost, it gets annoying. But I also realize, like, what is he really supposed to do, right? This is all up to the players just figuring it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty veteran team, you know. The only young player in the lineup, really, was, at least at the beginning of the season, was Mondesi, and they sent him down. So these are guys who have, for the most part, you know, been key contributors on a World Series champion and have performed at a high enough level to win a World Series, and they're just not right now. And it's frustrating to hear because it almost sounds like they don't have an answer. And the reason it sounds like that is because I don't think they have an answer. I think that they just don't know what the issue is. So, and, you know, it's just one of those things that it's either going to work itself out or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work itself out, then this team's going to get dismantled here in the near future.
When you hear guys like Eric Hosmer, who's, you know, one of the clubhouse leaders and externally one of the leaders in the media, when you hear him say those kinds of things, like, we just got to stick with our approach and hope that it's going to change, is that what you want to hear from Eric Hosmer, or would you rather him come out and say, you know what, I suck right now and I have no idea how to fix it?
I think I'd rather hear him. I guess he is saying that he's struggling. You know, he's not shying away from the fact.
Sure.
The numbers tell the story. I don't want to hear him say he has no idea how to fix it, but I wouldn't necessarily hate if he admitted that to somebody. And he may have. He very well may have.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to hear the guy who wants $200 million say out loud, I don't know what to do. But, you know, they're not making excuses, which I think is the one thing that people can't stand. You know, last year Joaquin Soria stood in front of his locker and told people how good of a pitch he made 78 times, it feels like, and he gave up 13 ties or leads, and, you know, it got annoying. They're not going out there saying, well, we're putting good swings on the ball, they're just not falling in. They're saying, we're bad. We are terrible right now. We're working on it. You know, we'll work our way out of it, and it'll happen. It's just infuriating because there's no answer. It's not necessarily that they're doing anything inherently wrong. They're just not good right now. And it makes more sense when you've got an answer. You know, when it was Mondesi and Orlando struggling, okay, there's an answer. Send those guys down. They're going to find two guys who can hit in the lineup, and it'll make things better. Well, it hasn't, because there is no answer right now, and it's really hard to watch.
Talking to David Leske of Baseball Prospectus Kansas City here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Is there anybody in the lineup that you're particularly more concerned about than others, or is there one guy you have the most confidence in that he's going to get it figured out eventually?
I think I'm most concerned about Gordon. And it's just because you wonder, and I guess Moss too, if we're being fair, but you wonder if age is catching up. And you know, it's not 2001 when you hit 35 home runs at 42 years old. And, you know, it's a different era. It's a time when guys are aging a little bit more traditionally. And Gordon and Moss are both in their age 33 season. And at some point, guys slow down. And what Moss, to me, looks like he's just going through one of his slumps that we're not accustomed to in Kansas City because we haven't seen him, but this is what he does. He swings and misses an awful lot, and eventually he comes out of it, and he's going to have a week where he hits five home runs, and people will love him for a week. It's actually a lot like Morales last season. But Gordon, his bat just looks slow. And the numbers don't bear it out. So maybe it's selective bias, and I see what I think I'm seeing, and he's really fine. But it looks like he's behind on fastballs and ahead on changeups, and he just can't adjust one way or another. I feel like we talked about this before, and it's concerning to me because this isn't just this season. It happened last season, and before he got hurt, and before people were able to use the hand and wrist or whatever it was that he broke as an excuse, he was struggling to start last season. So, you know, I'm a big believer in Alex Gordon, but what he's done over the last year and 19 games is really concerning to me. And you know, I don't know if he's going to come out of this. He'll be better than he is, but I'm not sure we'll ever see the 360 on base percentage 20 he was a few years ago, because, you know, age and injuries may have caught up to him.
And, you know, you touched on something there at the end where it's not as much of a concern. Like with Eric Hosmer, you're concerned about him this year. To be honest, I don't think any of us really are that concerned with what he's going to do over the rest of his career, because we know it's likely going to happen somewhere else. But in the case of Gordon, you're financially committed to this guy when he's going to be in his, you know, middle to late 30s. And you start to wonder now, if this is what you're giving us now, what are you going to be giving us the last couple of years in your contract when you're trying to rebuild, right? When you're trying to rebuild and retool for the future.
Exactly. And there's good and bad, because if they are in a true rebuild in 2018 and 2019, the last 2 years of Gordon's contract, performance isn't that important, and you almost don't hate losses because they can get you a better draft pick to help you improve in the future. I mean, we've seen teams, quote, tank to get where they are today. The Cubs have made it work to their advantage, the Astros too. And a guy like Gordon on the roster, good or bad, is not a bad thing to have with young players. And you bring up Ryan O'Hearn, Samir Duanez, Corey Toews, all these guys to learn from a guy who is one of the hardest workers in baseball. Not terrible, even if he's bad. But at the same time, you're right, you're paying him a lot of money. And you hope that he can produce at a level that is at least close to that money. And it's weird because Gordon's the one guy who you look at and you say, okay, age isn't going to hurt him as much because he's in such impeccable physical condition. And so maybe it's not. Maybe this is just a slump. And Gordon's always been a pretty streaky hitter, and he's also been a slow starter at times too. So maybe we're overblowing this completely, and he'll get three hits tonight and be on his way. But it's worth being concerned about. And right, Hosmer is less of a concern because, whatever, if he's bad, he's bad, and he's bad for somebody else for $100 million next season, then Royals don't have to worry about that. But Gordon's a guy, he's got to turn it around, because his struggles concern me a lot.
He's David Leske. I'm Nick Schwert. Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I guess if you're looking for a silver lining, you could find one in the fact that the starting pitching has been phenomenal, especially the top three of that rotation, and I think we've kind of started to see the bullpen come around a little bit lately over the past couple of weeks, have we not?
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, save last night.
No, the bullpen, this is before, I think this is after, like, Thursday's games or something. But since, take away Nate Karn's relief outing where he gave up 4 runs and 2/3 of inning. He's not a reliever, so I think that's a reasonable thing to do. And take away Matt Strom's first inning and a third when he was, I don't know what he was. The bullpen ERA going into the weekend was like 3.30 outside of those two outings. That's including Travis Wood's struggles. That's including Mike Minor giving up some runs. Bullpen kind of settled in. Travis Wood's an issue. I don't know what his problem is, but he can't throw strikes, and he doesn't have good enough stuff to not know where the ball is going. So that's something the Royals need to be concerned about moving forward. Peter Moreland, he gave up some runs. I think he got a little BABIP depth to that yesterday, and so I'm not too worried about him. I think he's a quality reliever if he's your fourth or fifth best reliever. But Matt Strom looks pretty good since he's come back from Omaha. Kelvin Herrera's looked a lot better over the last, five or six outings.
Yeah.
Joaquin Soria's looked good this year. Scott Alexander, I think, can be a weapon for this team, and he's a guy who didn't break camp with the club, but I think he's one of their seven best. I think once you figure out what's going on with Wood, whether he needs to be something mechanical that needs to be fixed, or he needs a phantom DL stint or something along those lines, I think this bullpen has a chance to be pretty darn good. And then when you combine it with that rotation, and Duffy, Vargas, and Kennedy have been really good. Carnes has been good at times. Hamill has had a good outing, although he's concerning to me too. I think they have the makings of a playoff pitching staff. So, and they definitely have a playoff defense. The defense has been really good this season. Question is, it always goes back to the offense, but on the pitching side, that's where the positives lie. It's the pitching staff. And then Moustakas and Kane, and that's pretty much it.
Well, we talked about the ceiling of this lineup before the season began, and clearly they're nowhere near that. But even if they don't get to that ceiling, even if they were just an average offense, if they were a slightly below average offense, I think you'd be talking about an above average team as opposed to what you've got now, which has been great starting pitching, average to above average bullpen, but just the worst offense you could possibly imagine. All you need them to do is be, you know, moderately average, and you're talking about, I think, one of the better teams in the AL.
Yeah, Baseball Prospectus, the PECOTA projections, which everybody just loves. for the rest of the season, they have the Royals projected to hit, it's roughly around like 260 with a 310 on base percentage and like a 395 slugging percentage. And I was looking at that and I'm going, if they put that up in the first 19 games, they're probably like, what, 13-6, 12-7 at worst. Yeah. And so if they can put together that performance over the last 143 games, they're 7-12. It's not, let's not pretend like the season's over and we need to be having the memorial service right now. There's plenty of time to come back from this. They just need to start coming back from it tonight.
Yeah.
And if they can put together that slightly below average offense, what projects them to be the rest of the season, I don't think it's crazy to think they're going to win 87 games. But at this point, they haven't shown me anything to believe that they're going to be anything but a horrific offense. And that's not to say that they will be. It's just there's been no evidence to show that they can be better. And you know, tonight, Dylan Covey is the guy going for the White Sox. He's not good. He's given up 20 base runners in 10 and the third innings. He doesn't have good stuff. He doesn't have good control. He's walked 5 and struck out 2 this season. I mean, if the Royals don't get it going tonight, I might be in full-blown panic mode. This is the type of guy, I don't care how bad you are, you've got to hit him.
Well, okay, because here's the thing is, like, at this point, you've got 19 games under your belt. You'd think that's about 3 hours per game. So we've got 60 hours of Royals baseball this year. And virtually all of it has been unwatchable. And that's, I think, the biggest thing for me is, I understand all of the different things that sports can provide, but I think chief amongst them is entertainment, and it's just almost hard to justify spending 3 hours every night watching this team, which is just giving you absolutely nothing to smile about.
They are mind-numbingly boring. And that's from a guy, I love a good pitching matchup. You know, there were a couple, you know, the Kennedy-Skaggs game that Sunday afternoon that they won I can't remember if it was the 9th or 10th, whatever it was. That was a good game. That was fun to watch because those two pitchers pitching really well. But when the Royals off, like, look, give credit to the opposing pitcher all you want, but there are games. And last night, Miguel Gonzalez is really good too. But there are a lot of games the Royals have played already this season where you look and you go, the pitcher wasn't good. He did not pitch well. And Thursday, I guess, against Texas with Andrew Cashner. Cashner was bad in that game, and they couldn't push a run across. I mean, this offense is really difficult to watch because, and I don't know if they are stupid hitters, but they have been hitting stupidly all season long. They don't know what pitch to swing at. They don't know what pitch not to swing at. It's just it's very difficult to watch. And you know, I have to write about them, so I'm watching them, but yeah. I'm not happy about it.
You referenced Andrew Cashner that game that ended in 13, the Rangers won 1-0. It goes into extra innings tied at 0-0. I have a proposition for baseball. We're looking to make the game more entertaining. We're looking to cut down on game duration. If a game ever goes into extra innings tied at 0-0, both teams lose. I don't know how it's going to work out in the standings and how that's going to screw up the math, but I think it's a pretty fair – I mean, if you don't score a single run across 9 innings, you've lost, right? At that point, you've already lost.
I am on board with that. I think – a little addendum. Give them 10. Give them a 10th inning.
Okay.
And if they're scoreless into the 11th, yeah, I think I tweeted that both teams deserve to lose that game. That was a terrible baseball game. I mean, just on both sides. Give them 2 losses easy. They both deserve 2 losses for that atrocity.
Or if either team is taking a no-hitter, into extras, they're still alive for the win. And I think it can all be subjective. You say, you know what? They haven't scored a run, but that pitching staff's been awesome. We'll let them keep playing. I think you make it all subjective, and the point should always be to entertain. So if it's an entertaining 0-0 game, which is kind of hard to fathom, then I think you let the teams keep playing.
So you're saying go, maybe take it to New York, take it to a replay review, and then at the end of 9 innings, New York gets to say, okay, we're done, or no, there's something good going on, you get to keep going?
Yes, exactly. I think that's a perfect solution. Hey, before I let you go, Jorge Bonifacio gets called up, already hit a home run. Well, what do you think the plan is for him moving forward, not just in the near future, but for the rest of the season? How do you think they're going to utilize him, if much more?
I have no idea. I think the near future is when Soler is ready, I think Bonifacio goes back to AAA. That said, I could see a scenario where Soler is ready, and he's got, what, 4 or 5 rehab games now in Omaha. He's hit okay, hit home run today,
yeah,
his second one down there. I could see a scenario where the Royals decide, you know what, Travis Wood, you got a back injury, and Jorge Soler is coming back, and we're going to leave Bonifacio on the roster, and there's going to be sort of a three-headed monster at right field and DH, and figure out a way to get some production from DH because Brandon Moss is struggling so mm-hmm. much. So I could see Bonifacio staying up for a little while, but I think ultimately he's going to spend most of the year in Omaha. And then I don't know long-term because you've got Soler and Gordon under team control through at least 2019, and I just don't see Bonifacio playing too many more games in center field. I'm not 100% sure what the plan is, but I could see them doing a lot of mixing and matching once Soler is back and healthy.
Because with Paolo Orlando, if Bonifacio can just prove to be a serviceable player at the major league level, I understand Orlando's more of a natural fit in right field, and who knows what's going to happen once Soler is ready to go. But it just seems like naturally, at least offensively, and not to say Paolo Orlando is a gold glove caliber outfielder by any stretch of the imagination, but it does seem to be at least a modest upgrade over what Orlando was giving you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Orlando can't hit. So, I don't know that. But he hit 300. Yeah, I know he did. But that it's not last year anymore. So, I think Bonifacio is the one of the 25 best players right now. I'm just not sure how he fits on the roster because it doesn't make a lot of sense at this point. But, you know, these things have a way of working themselves out. And Jorge Soler hasn't exactly been the picture of health throughout his career. So I imagine there will be other opportunities for Bonifacio to get some playing time throughout the season.
He's David Leske. Check out all of his work at bpkansascity.com. That's Baseball Prospectus Kansas City. You can follow him on Twitter at dbleske. Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nick.
That's David Leske. I'm Nick Schwert. Rock Chuck Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We're going to take a quick timeout. On the other side, it's your 4:30 news break, even though it's coming at about 4:27. Connor Tehan's younger brother, coming to KU, USGA, cracking down on snitches, and A.J. Griffin ate too much fish.